Good morning.
Good morning.
Isn't it a lovely morning? It's a lovely morning. Let's turn, please, to Matthew's Gospel. The chapter 25. That chapter is a companion of the chapter 24. Never forget that. And the subject matter of chapter 24 is carried over into chapter 25. Let's read from verse 1 of Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, young ladies, young girls, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Get the picture now. It's a wedding in Israel. Little different from here. But it was common. Bridegroom was met by a number of young ladies, young girls, and they escorted him and the bride. And it obviously takes place in the evening time because they carry lamps. So that's the picture. That's the picture. And the words of the Lord Jesus here would immediately be understood by the people round about. It wasn't something they'd say, what does this mean? They would see the picture right away of the bridal party and the young ladies dressed up in their finery and carrying lamps. So they'd get the picture right away. And I hope that you do as well. So we read here of 10 young ladies. Verse 2, 5 of them are wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They took no oil with them. In other words, they never gave a thought to what lay before them, what lay in the future. Never gave a thought, just grabbed their lamps and off they went. Never took any notice of whether they had oil enough to last them during the ceremonies. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They thought about this matter. They said, we don't know how long this will be. We're not quite sure when the bridegroom will come. So we might be standing about and waiting for a while. We need to make sure we have enough oil in our lamps to keep them burning. They were the wise ones. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts. This parable, an important one, will likely carry us right through to the end of this school year. It's a wonderful parable, and if any parable was written for today, this is the parable. Now, of course, all of the parables told by the Lord Jesus have to do with us today. They have meaning for us. It was not a parable we would say, well, that has nothing to do with me. That was for yesterday, or that's for the future time. It's not for me today. No, no, no. There's not a parable that we can say that about. But particularly, this parable is for us today. Now, the Lord Jesus was forever warning men and women and boys and girls about the dangers of hell. You know, the great crowds that came to hear the Savior had within them those who were just like you. Same age. When the adults all gathered, you can imagine the village as they heard the word the Lord Jesus was passing. The adults would have dropped everything. The blacksmith would have dropped everything in the forge. The carpenter would have dropped everything in his carpenter shop. The housewife would have quit the baking or the preparing of a meal, dropped it, and out the door to see the prophet about whom everybody was talking. And there would have been this gathering of the people. And of course, all the wee boys and the wee girls who were scampering about and playing. What's going on? What's the crowd? Come on, let's go and see, you know, if they would have run too. And they would have squeezed their way through, the adults. Maybe got right to the front. We boys and girls are never happy with the back seat. They like to get right up to the front and see what's going on. And I can well imagine then that as the Saviour began to speak right there in front of him, there were those just like you. And they heard what he said. And the wonder of it all is that I have no doubt that the Lord Jesus so spoke, so preached, that the boys and the girl would understand. Maybe not everything. But then, not everything you hear from the pulpit you quite understand. But it's a poor preacher who doesn't say something that you understand. And I have no doubt that the words of the Lord Jesus would have found a home in the hearts of boys and girls. Now, as I say, he was forever warning about the dangers of hell, and you see it in this parable. See how it ends up there in the verses 10 to 13? While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us! But he answered and said, Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. There's a danger of being shut out of the kingdom of God, a danger of being lost for all eternity. And I have no doubt, as I said, boys and girls would have heard the Lord Jesus issue that warning. And I want you to hear him today tell you, watch, you be ready and be prepared. Now, the people of God, Christian, have a wonderful privilege bestowed upon them. And that privilege is to share in the knowledge that God alone has of what his purpose for this earth is. God has a plan. God has a plan. Have you ever maybe gone out on a school trip and you've said to the teacher, where are we going? What are we going to do? And the teacher has said, just you wait and see. Didn't tell you. Didn't share with you what it was that was planned for that day. But let me tell you this. We can come to the Lord and we can ask the Lord this question, Lord, what have you planned for this world? What are you going to do with this world? And God doesn't say to you, just you wait and see. He doesn't. But rather, the Lord says, come here and I'll show you. And written in this blessed book are the plans of God for this world, for men and women, for nations. It's here in this Bible. And it's there for you to know. Now you're here at school being taught. Those of you in the front rows, there's a lot you have yet to learn. A lot you have yet to learn. And when you have finished school, you'll still have a lot to learn. In fact, you'll spend the rest of your days learning. But I tell you that it is the privilege of Christians to know what God has planned for this world. That knowledge is greater than anything that this school can teach you or you will find in any books. This is the knowledge that's in the mind and will of God, and he's prepared to share it with you. I remember when I was young, and I'm sure maybe it happens to some of you, Whenever we had visitors come to our house, I think particularly of an uncle of mine, he was always fun to have in the house. He was always full of wonderful stories, for he had been a policeman for many years. And of course, during the evening of conversation, where there was no television in those days, well, there was, I suppose, somewhere, but certainly not where we live, and there'd always be a story or two or three or four told. And I used to love hearing those stories, sharing in that knowledge. But I had to keep very quiet, because it was a wee bit beyond my bedtime. And if I drew attention to myself, hey boy, what are you doing up? Get away to bed! And that was the end of it all. No more stories. So I used to sit in the corner and be very, very quiet in order to listen to the stories. I could tell you those stories now, if I was inclined to, because I've never forgotten. Yes, as you're growing up, there's things that you're just not allowed to hear, and there's conversations that you are not allowed to listen into, and you're chased off to bed. But God doesn't do that. God puts his arm round your shoulder, and he says, here, look here. Look at what it is I am going to do in this world. Old President Trump has no idea of what it is God's going to do, but you can know. The Queen, sadly, she has no idea of what God's plans are for this world, but you can know. Now that puts you a little above President Trump and the Queen and all the other rulers, by and large, in the world. And the wise men, and the parliamentarians, and the professors, and all the rest of them. If you listen to what God has to say in his word, you will gain a knowledge of what lies ahead of this world that men don't have. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that marvelous? And here is the Lord, and he's speaking about what is going to happen. How the days of this age are going to end. He wants to share this knowledge with you. He has written it in his word in order that you, your mother, your father, and you might understand what his plans are. Now, I'm only going to be able to make a little start here today, but in order to understand exactly what the Lord is teaching in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13, we've got to go back to the previous chapter and observe some of the things that are said there. Look at Matthew chapter 24, that's only back a page or so, and the verse 32. Now, learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Now, all these things are what he has said earlier in the chapter. For he's speaking about his return to this earth. That's what he's discussing with his disciple. And he's telling them this will happen, that will happen, you'll see this take place and that take place. And then he says, now just as you can look on a fig tree, and you see that it's beginning to put out its leaves, then you can understand that summer's coming. Now today, when you go out to play, out in the yard, I want you to stop for a few seconds and look across the road, and you'll see one of God's calendars. Yes, just across the road from you, one of God's calendars. It's called a hawthorn tree or bush, and you'll see that it's beginning to be covered by what are really beautiful white flowers, just little flowers. And do you know what it's telling you? Summer is coming. Now it's there, and I can tell you to go and look from the playground across at it and recognize it's telling us summer's coming. And maybe you could look up, for there's wires crossing between two poles, electric wires. And you know it's a favourite perch for birds. And there's a possibility, as you look up, you will see a visitor. all the way from somewhere in Africa. Do you know what they call the visitor? No. Mr. and Mrs. Swallow. Because I saw them yesterday, the two swallows, for the first time this year. Now, they may have been here a day or two and I hadn't seen them, but I saw them yesterday morning and they swooped down because they nest up in the open shed that we have. And they come there every year. And those who have come back are most likely those that were born in that nest last summer. And when it came to autumn time, they headed off likely for South Africa. Wherever it went, it was far away and it was much sunnier than we have here in the wintertime. And then there came the time when they said, right, it's time to go back to Kilskerry and see all them wee noisy rascals that run around the schoolyard. And so they headed off. A long, long, long trip. Oh, they arrived here and they signal, summer's coming. Summer's coming. Do you know they are so regular that you can almost set your calendar by them? I didn't see them, as I say, possibly for a day or two. But if careful watch had been kept, the day they arrived would likely have been the same day they arrived last year, and the year before, and the year before, and the year before. And every time they come, they're telling us, summer's coming. And the Lord is saying, just as you can look out and see the hawthorn tree telling you that summer is coming, well, likewise, he says, if you take heed to what is in my book, you'll know when I am about to come. You'll know when I am about to come. Isn't that a wonderful knowledge to have? The world doesn't know about it. The world laughs and says it'll never happen. But you can know and see it approaching. Then there's another sign that lets us know when it is the Lord is coming. And his coming is drawing near. Look at the verses 37 to 39. You ready to listen to me as I read? Verse 37 says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So here's a description of the behavior of the world's population in the days drawing near to the return of Christ. They'll be acting, behaving, very improperly, just the way they did in the days of Noah. You know, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. I know people think that, oh yes, there are new things. Well, there are new gadgets, new versions of that which has gone before. But the people really don't change. I mean, if I was to take you, and were I able to turn the clock back 500 years, and get someone of your age from back then, and stand them beside you, well, they'd be looking you up and down and saying, boy, what a funny outfit that person's wearing. And you would be looking them up and down and saying, what funny clothes! But there'd be no difference in your face, in your feet, in your hands. Underneath the clothes, you would just be two people, separated by hundreds of years, but basically the same. Basically the same. They might have dressed differently 500 years ago from how they dress today, but they were just the same. And consequently, the Savior says, the world's population will be behaving just as the world's population behaved before the judgment fell upon the world in the days of Noah. There's another means of telling how near the coming of the Lord is. We could go back to Genesis chapter 6 and we could read all about the wickedness of the world in those days. We can say, do we see that happening today? Not just here and there, but all over. Because when it begins to happen all over, then the days of Noah are once again taking place amongst us, and the coming of the Lord is near. So you see, boys and girls, God sharing his wonderful knowledge with us, and we can know just when it is that the Lord Jesus is coming again. I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to come back to this and strive to show to you that it's your privilege to share in the knowledge that resides in the mind and heart of God, but written down in the Bible. You can know. Oh, that you would be conscious of it and anxious to share in that knowledge and to know God's will. Do you know the Lord today? Is it your desire to know more about him and what his plans are? Have you an interest in the Lord today? Or have you an interest only in the world and what's happening there? Because that's what divides the Christian from the one who's lost. The one who's lost cares nothing for God and his truth. The Christian has a desire to know the Lord better. More about Jesus would I know, is what the hymn says, and it's true. May the Lord give you an interest in these things. Let's bow together then in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, we commit the school to thee. We commit the boys and the girls here. I pray, Lord, that thy word will find a resting place in their hearts, and that they will search out the scriptures, search and see what it is God has within his book. Lord, we came in this morning and we saw some of the youngsters with books in their hand, reading, trying to find out what was in the book, interested in it. Oh, that they might likewise have an interest in the greatest book of all, the Word of God. Bless teachers, bless pupils, bless those that are even now in the midst of an exam. God help them. May they look to thee, for thou art with them there in the room. Bless them. Hear us today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.